مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. مبلغ for you, it's my prayer. May you keep ascending success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وصحابك يا
Viewers of Madrasa Channel, we'll begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is reported to have said, "Decorate your gatherings by reciting Salat upon me. Your recitation of Salat upon me will become noor for you on the day of judgment." Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, we said it before, but please try and make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The pious predecessors have given us a target of 313 a day. And when you hear the blessings of Durood e Pak, and it says that he who recites Durood e Pak in abundance, then those people that recite Durood e Pak 313 times will be counted amongst those people that recite Durood e Pak in abundance. So please make it part of your daily routine. There are many, many times during the day where you're traveling, where you're waiting. Utilize that time. And one of the best ways of utilizing that time is sending Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who knows, that one extra Durood e Pak that you recite today might make all the difference on the day of judgment. Viewers of the channel, Success is a desire that is found in the heart of every human being. Whether it be for worldly affairs that you want to achieve something in this dunya, or whether you want to achieve success in the hereafter, everyone wants to be successful in every aspect of their life. Everyone wants to success to literally fall at the feet, and no one wants failure to be their destiny. And this is what we all try and achieve. We all want to achieve success. But to achieve success in any purpose or in any goal, whatever it is necessary to become steadfast. To become steadfast in that mission that you want to be successful in. And unless you become steadfast in that mission, then you'll never become successful. And inshallah, Azawajal, today we're going to talk about steadfastness. We're going to talk about being steadfastness, that if you are steadfast, then how you can be successful not only in this dunya, but also in the akhirat as well. And inshallah, we're going to give you some remedies, some tips on how to become steadfast. We're going to give you some parables from our pious predecessors that we can learn from their lives and see how they were steadfast. And then look at ourselves. Whilst we're giving you these parables, views on the channel, I want you to reflect and think to yourself that, where am I? What is my status? How steadfast I am and how steadfast I should be. It is narrated, views on the channel, that Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala states that Sayyiduna Umme Shariq radiallahu ta'ala anha was in Makkah, and she had gained an inclination towards Islam. After accepting Islam, she would secretly meet up with the women of Quraysh and invite them to accept Islam. So much so that it became apparent to the people of Makkah that she had accepted Islam. Therefore, the people of Makkah, they actually captured her. And when they captured her, they said to her, "Had we no regard for your tribe, we would have punished you harshly. However, we will only rest after sending you back to the Muslims." And she reports that the people of Makkah seated her on a camel without actually, you know the seats that they have on the camels? The saddle, they had no saddle. They sat her on top of the camel with no saddle, no cloth under her. And they kept me like this for 3 days, she said. They did not feed me, nor did they give me anything to drink. She said, "I passed 3 days without hearing the voice of anything that walks on the ground. Whenever the people of Makkah would camp somewhere, they would tie me out in the sun while they would sit in the shade themselves. They would not feed me nor give me anything to drink. I would remain in this state until it would be time to move on again." Allahu Akbar. She went on to say, "The ones they camped at a place tied me up out in the sun and went into the shade themselves. Suddenly I felt the coolness of something on my chest. When I looked, I saw that it was a bucket of water. I drank some water from it. Then it was moved back and raised. The bucket returned a few moments later and I drank some water from it again. This happened a few times. Then the bucket was handed over to me. I drank to a full stomach and poured the rest of the water on my body and clothes." Because obviously she was in the heat and the whole body was perspiring with the heat. So to cool herself down, she threw all of the water on top of her. When the people that had captured her returned and they saw that the effects of the water, obviously a hole, her clothes were wet, the ground was wet. They said to her that, did you free yourself and drink some water from our water skins? And she replied, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I did not do that. In fact, such incident took place. When they listened to this, they then said, if you are telling the truth, then your religion is better than ours. And when they checked the water skins that they had found them, to just as be as they had left them. So no water had gone from their camp. And as a result of this, alhamdulillah, they all immediately accepted Islam. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, we can see from this that alhamdulillah, these people, as a result of this miracle that happened, they accepted Islam. But that is not the message that we are giving you today. The message that we are giving you today is the steadfastness that Sayyiduna Umm Sharif radiallahu ta'ala had in her faith. She was so strong in her faith that she was being punished. She was being sat in the boiling heat of the sun. You know, I remember many years ago, I was blessed with an opportunity to visit the city of Medina. And I remember that from my hotel to Masjid al-Nabi was probably about, I don't know, maybe a kilometer, maybe less. And it was so hot. And I remember coming out the hotel and literally going as fast as I could so I could get inside Masjid al-Nabi. And obviously, when you're inside Masjid al-Nabi, the AC's there, the cooling's there and everything. And I got inside there, and as soon as you get in there, you're thankful that the heat, you know, the cool air is coming on you, and you sit down and you recover. But then I thought to myself that there was a time when there was no heat, no cooling system in this masjid. There was a time that there was no cooling system full stop. There was a time where people would travel in the heat and they would be inside the heat all the time. And we see here from this sahabiya that she was tied to a camel for 3 days without a saddle, without a blanket there for her to sit on. And for them 3 days, what temperatures she had to bear. No water. Just imagine, no water in that blaring heat. But she stood firm to her faith. And we, viewers of Mother Channel, we also should gain steadfast in those activities in which there is, not those activities, again, when you say steadfastness, there are certain activities that you need to be steadfast in. And I'm not going to mention those activities that you don't be steadfast in, but I'm going to mention those activities that you need to be steadfast in. Meaning, the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Be steadfast in those activities that can attain that. Be steadfast in the goodness of this world and the hereafter and the elevation of Islam. Be goodness in the fulfillment of our purpose in coming to this world and benefit of the religion and the country. Be steadfast as a means of spreading the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Be steadfast as a means of doing good deeds. Be steadfast in protecting Muslims from sinning and a means of strengthening our faith. Because viewers of Madinah Channel, steadfastness is the secret to real success. It is our means of freedom for fear and sadness. A pillar of faith. Such a wealth because of which is one is given honor in this world and success in the hereafter as well. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, in Surah Amin al-Sajda, verse number 30. And I give you the translation from Mansur Iman. Indeed, those who said, Allah is our Lord, then remain firm upon it. The angels descend upon them saying that do not fear, nor grieve, and be happy for the paradise with which you have been promised. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. It is mentioned, viewers of Mother Channel, in Tafsir Siratul Jinnah, and I'll read this to you. No doubt, those who affirmed Allah Almighty as their Lord and His oneness by saying, our Lord is only Allah, and they remain steadfast on this affirmation and its requirements, Angels descend upon them from Allah Almighty and give them glad tidings by saying, do not fear the events of the hereafter. Do not worry about those family members who you have left behind, and be happy on that paradise that you were promised by the noble messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal in the world. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, we can learn from this that a virtue of steadfastness and its importance from the unbuilt mentioned ayat that I mentioned, that we need to be steadfast on our deen. We need to protect ourselves. We need to be steadfast on those actions that are going to enable us to be successful in this dunya and successful in the hereafter. Regarding steadfastness, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, the era after yours will be the era of patience. Whoever remains steadfast on the religion, Islam, in that era, he will be given the reward equal to 50 martyrs. 50 martyrs amongst you. Allahu Akbar. So in this time of fitna, in this time of trials and tribulations, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying to you that if you remain steadfast on your deen, if you remain steadfast with your iman there and protect your iman, then inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you will be given the reward equal to 50 martyrs amongst you. Sayyidina Sufyan bin Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala has narrated, that I requested in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam, tell me something comprehensive about the religion so that I will never have to ask someone else about it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala sallam said, he said, I believe in Allah and then remain steadfast on this. Remain steadfast on this. And again, we need to understand what remaining steadfast on the belief in Allah Azza wa Jal. We hear people that they come to the fold of Islam, they recite the kalima. They recite that, but what does that mean? That remains being taking all of these commands of Allah Azza wa Jal that have been prescribed for us, fulfilling all of the commands that are prescribed for us, for doing those acts that are fard for us and wajib for us. That is what remains by being steadfast views of the channel. And so iman and steadfast are two interpretations of one reality. Because iman, our faith, is the claim, and steadfastness is proof upon that claim. You can claim to be a Muslim, you can claim to be a believer, you can claim to have that iman, but what is your proof? What is your dalil? What is your criteria that you will prove that you are steadfast, that you are a Muslim, that you are on that iman? And that is being steadfast by following the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Therefore, viewers of the channel, we should seek steadfastness in every pious deed. I'm just going to give you now a definition of what actually steadfastness is. I've mentioned it quite a few times so far, so we need to understand it fully before we can try to implement it in our lives. Allama Sharif Jurjani, rahmatullah ta'ala, states, carrying out good deeds while refraining from sins is called istiqamat, i.e. steadfastness. Sounds very simple. I'm going to repeat it. Carrying out good deeds while refraining from sins is called being steadfast. Now, if we can achieve that, then inshallah Azza wa Jalla will be amongst those people that are steadfast. And we'll be inshallah Azza wa Jalla amongst those people who Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the ayat of the Quran that I mentioned earlier on, that we will be successful and we'll have nothing to fear of, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. And so, viewers of the channel, after listening to the definition of steadfast and hearing its importance, we should also feel in our hearts a desire to become steadfast. Because steadfastness, viewers of the channel, is such a level by means of one which one attains success in this dunya and attains success in the hereafter as well. Keep in mind that according to the definition mentioned, it is necessary to have knowledge regarding the inner and outer sins and strive in remaining from these sins. Because I said to you, perform those good deeds and refrain from them sins. But if we don't know what them sins are, how can we refrain from them? So again, that knowledge has to be there, viewers of the channel. We have to acquire them tools, acquire them knowledge, empower ourselves with that knowledge that can protect our iman. And any task, viewers of the channel, that lacks steadfastness can never be accomplished. You know, even if it's a worldly task that you want to achieve something in this dunya, unless you're steadfast in it, unless you are, you know, solidly go behind it, you'll not achieve it. And do you think that in this dunya, you can achieve something without being steadfast, without being focused on it? Do you think you can't achieve anything in the dunya? How is it possible that you can achieve the akhirah without being steadfast? How is it possible that you can achieve the akhirah without being focused on your mission? And that is our mission, viewers of the channel. Every Muslim's mission should be to attain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Every Muslim's mission is to attain paradise and hopefully without accountability. But for that we need to do things. For that we need to be steadfast on our deen. We need to protect our imam, refrain from their sins. But to refrain from them, we need to know about them. Sayyidina Abu Ali Jurjani Ramatullah Ta'ala states, adopt steadfastness and do not seek saintly miracles, because your nafs seeks saintly miracles, whereas your Lord wants you to be steadfast. Allah Azza wa Jalla wants us to be steadfast, viewers of the channel. So we need to learn how to become steadfast and have this mindset that I am going to live my life as a Muslim. Yes, we are Muslims, we have Muslim names, but I'm going to live my life as a Muslim, not simply be called a Muslim, so that when, you know, they do the surveys, and the annual surveys are done, or they do these surveys for the whole of the year, and it says tick the box, and you tick the box that I am a Muslim, or you fill in the form, and it says your religion, I am a Muslim. That's not enough. Saying is one thing, doing is another thing. We say we are Muslims, we dress up as Muslims, we look like Muslims. But do we act like Muslims? Do we think like Muslims? Do we function like Muslims? And that is where we need to ask ourselves these questions. And inshallah, we're going to give you some methods, inshallah. Now, we're going to try and give you some methods of how to remain steadfast on your deen. Number one, have an honest intention. In order to gain steadfastness on any pious act, it is necessary to have an honest intention, i.e. a solid determination that you're going to do it. If you do not have this determination, this solid intention that you're going to do it, it's never going to happen. I may invite the brothers here in the studio to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla and Madani Kafla, and they say, yeah, brother, don't worry, we're going to travel. We're going to travel for 3 days with you, we're going to travel for 12 days. But they're not sincere in that. They're not honest in that. They're just literally lip service. So whenever you make an intention, make it a pure, solid intention that you're definitely going to do it. Because if you don't set your mind on anything, you will not achieve it. And that could, the same could be said in dunya as well. If you want to achieve anything, you want to make a business successful, you need to give it time. You need to be focused on that business. And unless you are, you know, fully behind it, they say to you that when you want to be successful in business, you need to be fully behind it. How is it possible that you cannot be successful in this dunya by being fully behind the business, and yet you expect to be successful in the akhirat without being fully behind the mission? So you need to have this sincere and strong intention. The second thing, which is also very, very important, views of Manishan, and a lot of us lead this, we need to do dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. We need to do dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah protect us. Allah give me that mindset. Allah give me the ability to be steadfast in the deen. Allah Azza wa Jalla give me the ability to act upon the intentions that I've made. Yes, I'm making good intentions, but something comes, something happens. Why? Do dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, views on the channel. Do duas in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah protect our iman. Allah safeguard us our iman. Allah protect us from the whispers of shaitan. Allah give us the ability to act upon those intentions that we've made. And that is very, very important, views on the channel. The third thing is do it in stages. What happens is sometimes people listen to a speech, maybe this speech or other speeches, or they listen to the words of Amir al-Sunnat or the words of Nigrani Shura or somebody, and they become inspired. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, they've not been reading the namaz at all, and then say, you know what? From tomorrow, 5 times a day. From tomorrow, tahajjud. From tomorrow, chast, ishraq, awabin. I'm going to fast nafal. I'm going to read 5 spars of the Quran. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And what happens is they set themselves a huge mountain, and because they set themselves such a huge target, they don't achieve it. Level by level, stage by stage, views of my channel. Yes, there's no stages when it comes to the fard. No. The 5 daily namaz is not as if, oh, I'll read 1 today, and next week I'll read 2, and then I'll read 3. I've heard people say this. No, there's no relaxation in that. We all Muslims need to pray our namaz 5 times a day. That is fard upon us. And whatever else is fard upon us, fasting during the month of Ramadan, you can't say, oh, well, I've never fasted before, so you know what? One off, one off, one on, one off. No, you must fast. But all the extra things, again, stage by stage. You've never got off for tahajjud in your life. Yeah, get up for Fajr. Get up for Fajr, Zohr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and then inshaAllah Azza wa Jal work towards reading tahajjud. Read half a ruku, 1 ruku a day, half a ruku a day, then 1 ruku, then 2 ruku, then half a para, then a full para. Build yourself up. Because what happens is if you sell yourself a big target, then what happens is you're not steadfast on that. And that's where we need to be very careful as well. In the same way, adopt a balance in whatever you do. Build yourself up in stages. A similar approach can be taken in order to gain steadfast in other tasks as well. So keep in mind that by stages, you build up to it. And also, viewers of Manchin, another way that you can try and become steadfast is look at our pious predecessors. Look at how they lived their lives. Look at the sacrifices that they made. And when you listen to those sacrifices, like the mention that we mentioned earlier on, of the sister that accepted the faith and she called people to the walls of the folds of Islam, and as a result of that, she was left in the blazing heat. Think about how hard it was for them, and how easy it was for him. And for this views of the channel, we need to become aware of the sacrifices that were made by our pious predecessors, the way they lived their lives, and then that should inspire us. Because our lives are so much easier. Yes, there may be places around the world, I'm not denying it, there may be places around the world that to follow the deen of Islam is hard, but the majority of us in the West, what is stopping us from reading our namaz 5 times a day? What is stopping us from reading the Quran on a daily basis? What is stopping us from fasting during the month of Ramadan? Nothing. What is stopping you from paying your zakat? All right, this year there was the issue with the pandemic, but in future, inshaAllah, what is stopping us from performing the Hajj if it is fard upon us? So we should do these things, and we should be inspired by those people that did so much more. And I'm going to give you an incident that took place, viewers of my channel. It's reported that once the leader of the Muslims, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, His sight fell on the back of Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala, and he saw that the entire back was covered with white scars from wounds. Allah. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala said, "Oh Khabbab, what are these scars on your back?" Sayyidina Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala replied, "What do you know about these scars? These are from the days when you would walk around with a naked sword looking to the martyr, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. By that time, the flame of the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam entered inside me, and I had accepted Islam. The disbelievers, listen to this, viewers of my channel, the disbelievers made me lie down on burning coals of fire. So much fat melted off my back that it extinguished the burning coals, and I remained unconscious for hours. But by Allah Azza wa Jal, as soon as I regained consciousness, the first words on my tongue were La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this, he replied while weeping, "Oh Khabbab, lift your shirt so that I may see your back. How blessed your honorable back is of yours, that it was burnt due to the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam." Views of my channel, what's our excuse? What's our excuse? That if you want to read your namaz, do people make you lie on burning coal? Are you punished because you want to read the namaz? And yet these people, viewers of my channel, we need to learn to sacrifice ourselves for the deen of Islam. And I'm not saying to you now that you have to lie on burning coal. I'm not saying to you now that you have to sit in the blazing heat. No. But our daily routines need to revolve around the tenets of Islam. Rather than what is happening is the tenets of Islam, those things that we should be doing, they revolve around our lives. What happens is, unfortunately, and I've said this before, Islam has become a hobby for us. We do it when we've got a bit of spare time. Oh, we're all right now, we've got a bit of free time, I'll read my namaz. During the pandemic, I've got lockdown, I'll read my namaz. I've got time now to go and have no more programs for me to watch on TV, I'm a bit bored now, I'll read my Quran. So it becomes something that we do in our spare time. But what should be happening is, our lives should revolve around our deen. We should plan our lives around this. I was listening to the dars this morning, on our dars that we have in the morning after Fajr. And the Mubaliki said that you know, if you are planning on making a journey, that journey, you should plan that journey around the namaz times. Because we make it, I'm traveling now, so I forget my namaz. But you should plan your journey. Okay, I'm traveling from here, I'm going to London, and I'll be in such a place by Zohr. Okay, near there, there's a place to read my namaz. I'll get to London by Asr, so I'll be okay. But I've read my Zohr. And you plan your journey like this. And what happens is we don't. And as a result of that, we end up missing our namaz. We're missing our namaz and we don't think twice about it. So our faraid revolve around our life rather than our life revolving around our faraid. And so, you know, what happens is, unfortunately, viewers of my channel, when I talk about being steadfast, we become steadfast in sins. Yes. Unfortunately, we become steadfast in sins. We can become steadfast on backbiting and tale-telling, but not on silence. We also become steadfast on sinful gazing, not upon keeping our eyes low. We become steadfast on reading novels, not on reading the Quran. We have become steadfast on wasting time in restaurants at night, but we don't become steadfast on watching the Madani Muzakaras or listening to the Bayans. We become steadfast on hurting the feelings of Muslims, but not showing a good conduct to the Muslims. We become steadfast on cursing and fighting, but not calling others towards righteousness. We become steadfast on watching movies and dramas, but not on reading Islamic literature. Is it not true that this is happening, viewers of my channel? That we are steadfast in visiting the cinemas, we're visiting these places of sin, but instead we're not visiting the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Think, ask yourself, what are you steadfast in? What is your daily routine? How do you live your life? What do you do? And if you are steadfast in fulfilling the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal and doing those extra ibadat, extra worship, and refraining from them sins, the marhaba. But we're steadfast, we can't miss our football. We can't miss our cricket. We can't miss going to the gym, but we can miss our namaz. Ask yourself, is that being steadfast on the deen of Islam? Are we following in the footsteps of those pious predecessors that sacrificed their lives? Yes, sacrificed their lives, viewers of Madani channel, so that the deen of Islam could get to us today. The ibadat that they did, And again, when you hear about this, remember this, and I'm going to give you some incidents of how they spent their lives using when they tell these people, they were human beings like me and you. They had stomachs that needed food inside them. They had children and families that they needed to look after and care for. They needed clothes on their backs. They needed shelter over the houses. They needed all of those things that we need. But how did they live their lives? The leader of the believers, Sayyidina Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, had such a steadfastness upon reciting the Quran that he would recite the entire Quran in one rakat. Allahu Akbar. And we think we're doing a great job when we just recite Surah Ikhlas in every rakat. Sayyidina Imam Azam had such steadfast upon talking less that he never ever backbited even his enemies. Again, viewers of my channel, backbiting. What is backbiting? Again, a complete separate topic. There's a book available that you can download. Curse of the Society, Backbiting. Please download that book and read that book. Empower yourself, strengthen yourself. Sayyidina Ghawse Azam, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, had such steadfast at performing good deeds that he offered the Fajr Salah with wuzu of the Isha Salah for how long? 40 years, viewers of my channel. And whenever his wuzu became nullified, he would immediately perform wuzu and he would offer two rakat nafil prayer. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Aswad bin Yazid, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, would offer 1,000 rakat of nafil salah daily. And if he could no longer stand, he would offer his salah while sitting. Sayyidina Khamas bin Al-Hassan, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, would offer 1,000 of rakat of nafil salah daily. And then out of humility, he would dress his nafs and say, O root of all evil, get up. And when he became old, when he could not offer more than 500 rakat, he would weep and say to himself, alas, my deeds have been halved. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, would stay awake at night in sincere supplication and dua. He would offer 300 rakat of nafil daily. He had performed 5 hajj pilgrimages, at which 3 were done by traveling on foot. And when I say traveling on foot, viewers of Malaysia, I'm not just saying traveling between Makkah and Muzdalifah and Mina and Arafat. No, traveling there on foot, getting there on foot. Nowadays, we get on the plane, we get on the AC trains, we get on the AC buses, we get in the taxis, we get to our destination, we walk a little bit and we think we've done a great job. These people of the past, when they performed Hajj, how difficult it was. They didn't have the AC camps. And now nowadays, we're staying in hotels that have food provided for us, breakfast provided for us. They didn't have that. But that did not deter them from performing the ibadat. And sometimes I think to myself that, you know, if Hajj was like it was, say, 100 years ago, how many of us would go? If we'd have to travel there by ship, by train, by walking, by camel, how many of us would go? Nowadays, we leave our homes, 1 hour later we're at the airport, we get on a plane, 6 hours later we're there, we get a coach, we're in Makkah Sharif. We perform the Hajj, and if we feel like it, we do a bit of walking, otherwise this coach is provided. We want to go to Medina, get in another AC coach, get on a plane, get on a train and go there. How easy it is. Would we? Would we be still performing the Hajj if it was as difficult as it was 100 years ago, 200 years ago? And if we can see from that it has become easier now, then what is our excuse? What is our excuse for not performing the Hajj if it's further upon us? Many years ago, we didn't have hot water. It wasn't as if it was good weather then and it's cold now. No, it's still cold then. But people used to get up in the morning at Fajr. They didn't have boilers and geysers in the houses. They didn't have the double glazing that we've got today and all them heating elements in the houses. They didn't have all of that things. They didn't have the radiators that would warm the house. They had nothing. But that would not deter them from getting up at Fajr in the cold, performing wuzu in the cold water, walking to the masjid in the cold. Not nowadays, as if you go into the masjid and you think, oh, it's going to be warm there when I get there. No. And nowadays, I remember a few years ago, I was in Pakistan in the city. And I arrived at someone's house. And I said to them, that, you know, where, and it was winter time, I think December. I said, where's the, you know, local masjid? I want to go read my namaz. And they said to me, oh, there's a masjid in that street over there. There's a masjid in that street over there, but you need to go to that masjid. So I said to him, why not that masjid? Why not that masjid? And why that masjid? Well, because that masjid's got a geyser in it and it's got a heater in it. So go to that masjid and read your namaz. And nowadays we look for ease. But this again is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The ease is here. Then facilities are there. So what is stopping us? You don't have to walk to the masjid. Majority of the people have got transports in front of the house. You open the door, there's a car there. You jump in the car, you go to the masjid, read namaz and come back. But we still make excuses. Sayyidina Aswad bin Yazid, Ramatullah Ta'ala, would offer 700 rakah of nafl salah daily and would fast regularly despite other academic responsibilities. So much so that because of an abundance of fasting and prayers, his body became pale and green. Sayyidina Abu Kilaba and Sayyidina Abdul Malik would offer 400 nafl salah daily. Sayyidina Bilal bin Sa'ad bin Tamim Ashari would offer 1,000 nafl rakat daily. Sayyidina Sa'abid bin Aslam Bunani, Ramatullah Ta'ala, did not miss a single tahajjud prayer in 50 years. How many tahajjud prayers have we performed, viewers on the channel? He would prefer prayer nafl all night and then in the morning he would cry while making this supplication, "Oh Allah, if you give any one of your slaves the permission to offer salah in the grave, then please give me that permission so that I can continue offering salah." As well as offering nafl salah at night, he would complete the recitation of the entire Quran daily and he would remain in the state of fasting most of the time. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Again, viewers of my channel, what are we? Who are we? And we look at our pious predecessors, how they lived their lives. What is our excuse? And so far we've mentioned the sacrifices that were made by those companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that were male. But the sisters as well, the Sahabiyat, they also made great sacrifices. It is stated on page 2 of the book Sahabiyat or Deen Ke Khatir, Qurbaniya, that when the beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Sayyidina Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala being tortured in the boiling desert of Makkah, along with her son Ammar radiallahu ta'ala and her husband Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, he, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would say, "Be patient, O family of Yasir, you have been promised paradise." Allahu Akbar. What pain that the people of Makkah, especially the enemy of Islam, Abu Jahl, did not cause to them. Just take an idea from this, that they were forced, yes, forced to wear metal armor and stand in the heat of the sun, viewers of my channel. What would the state of these people be? Yet they still, and still continued being steadfast on the deen. Nothing would deter them. And these are just a few examples that I've mentioned, viewers of my channel, but there are so many companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if you look at their lives, the sacrifices that they made, even later on, our pious predecessors, the sacrifices that they made. You can look at every single pious predecessor, and they never had it easy. If you want a statement, they never had it easy. None of them had it easy. None of them were born in a rich family, they had it easy, they grew up, and they had struggled and strived. And it's because of their struggles and their strives that the deen has got here today. Such a valuable thing, and we don't value it. Knowledge that has been passed down through generation and generation, we don't value it. And maybe, viewers of my channel, it's because in past generations, that knowledge to obtain it was so hard. In the same way now, if we look at valuable things in this world, they are there because they're hard to obtain. The gold and the diamonds, they are valuable. Why? Because they're hard to obtain. In past times, knowledge was so hard to obtain, so it was valued. Now knowledge has become so easy. Websites are there, TV channels are there, books are there, everything's there, we can gain this. And maybe because of that, we're not valuing knowledge. But remember this, viewers of the channel, that knowledge is valuable. More valuable than any gold, than any diamonds, than anything you can have, any platinum that you can have. It is more valuable than that. But in our own minds, we have devalued it. But unfortunately, viewers of the channel, there are many obstacles. There are many obstacles that stop us from being steadfast. You know, if you're watching this program now and you think to yourself, you know, I want to be steadfast, I want to do it. But you need to also be aware of the obstacles that are going to stop you from doing that. Number one, not having knowledge of the deen. We mentioned that a few times, not having the knowledge of the deen. Avoiding attending the masjid. If you stay away from the masjid, then it's very hard for you to be steadfast. Not controlling the tongue, having control of this. What will happen is if you don't control this, you'll start committing sins. If you start committing sins, then obviously all your other deeds will get washed away. Wrongfully. Yourself by wronging yourself by committing sins. We keep on committing sins, adopting the company of the deviants, on the people that commit sins. If you sit in the company of those people, if you sit with those people that are committing sins, you will start committing sins. I mentioned an incident before that there was a person, and I'll summarize it very, very briefly. He was a person that used to go to the masjid and read his namaz 5 times a day. But he used to go and sit in the company of people that used to take heroin because they were friends of his. And the Mubaliks tried to advise him that, look, don't go there. You will end up one day, and he said, no, I'm an adult now. I'm 35. I've got family. I've got kids. I'm not going to do something stupid. But one day he had a bad day at work. He had a bad day at home. Come there, sit there. They give him a cigarette. And what happens? Within a couple of months, he becomes a heroin addict. What are the people that we are sitting with? Are we sitting with pious people, or are we sitting with sinful people? Are we sitting with people that are on the right path, or are we sitting with those people that are misguided? Again, ask yourself these questions. Having the greed to fulfill the desires of our nafs, if we're continually looking to fulfill them desires, the desires of our nafs, rather than controlling our nafs, then again, this is a huge obstacle for us. Not being patient on the difficulties and hardships that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. You know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when paradise was created, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was sent there to look at it, and he came back and he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, it was such a beautiful place that I think nobody will not want to attend paradise. But when it was covered in difficulties and covered in problems, and then when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam saw the difficulties there, he came back and he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm fearful that nobody will be able to enter paradise because it's so hard to enter. But then when hellfire was created, and hellfire was created, and Jibreel alayhi salam was sent there to look at the hellfire, and he came back and he said, Ya Allah, nobody would want to enter the hellfire. But when it was covered with the pleasures and the ease and all of these pleasures that you see around you and all those sins that are so pleasurable, as people would say, to commit. Then when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam was then sent and he saw it, he came back and he said, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm fearful that nobody will be able to avoid the hellfire. Views of inshallah, those people that say that sins, that there is a pleasure in committing a sin, those people that say, yes, I enjoy committing adultery, I enjoy drinking alcohol, I enjoy smoking this, I enjoy doing this, I enjoy doing this. Remember this, viewers of Madhi Channel. Whatever sin you commit, I will agree with you for a moment that there is pleasure in it. I will agree with you. We can argue about that another time. But for one moment, I will agree with you. Okay, there is pleasure. But tell me, how long does that pleasure last? And how long does the sin last? The pleasure lasts for a moment, an hour, a day, or whatever, a few moments, but that sin will last with you forever. But that hardship in committing good deeds, people refrain from committing good deeds because it's hard. It's hard to get up at Fajr. It's hard to go to the masjid. It's hard to perform wuzu in cold water. It's hard to fast in the hot days. But that hardship, it disappears. And what stays with you? The good deeds stay with you. You know, about 6 months ago, it was the month of Ramadan, and here in the UK, there were the long days. And during the long days, you would get hungry, you would get thirsty, and you would want to eat so much. But when you open the fast, and you just have 2 or 3 days, all of a sudden, all of the difficulties that you faced during the day, they're gone. All of it's gone. Within a few moments, you eat a little bit, and that pain, that hunger's gone. So never leave a good deed for the sake of hardship, because the hardship will disappear, and the good deed will stay with you. Never commit a sin for the sake of pleasure, because that pleasure will disappear, but the sin will stay with you forever. And as I said before, the biggest obstacle, viewers of the channel, in being steadfast on the deen is love of this dunya. Love of this dunya and following the traps of this dunya. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loves his dunya has harmed his hereafter, and whoever loves the hereafter has harmed his dunya. So give priority to the eternal hereafter over the mortal dunya. Viewers of the channel, in today's Beyond, we've learned a little bit about being steadfast, being steadfast on the deen. And maybe you're listening today and maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to find it hard. Yes, it's not easy. It is not easy. But one of the best ways of enabling you, of being able to protect your iman, to be able to protect your steadfastness on the deen, is to become associated with those people that are trying in the same mission. Those people that are trying to protect their iman, those people that are trying to improve yourself, those people that are trying to improve the akhirah, them are the people that you need to attach yourself. And I'm here talking about the Islamic environment of Dawah Islami. I've given the example before of you, Zaman Chan, that as individuals, we're like a brick. You're a brick. We're all bricks. And when you make a wall, you make it out of bricks. But what you need to make that wall strong is the cement. If there is no cement and the wall is just made of bricks, it can be pushed over. When them bricks are joined together by cement, it strengthens that wall, and that wall becomes stronger. And the Islamic environment of Dawah Islamiyah is strengthening you by joining you to other people. Join to like-minded people. Those people that have a mission to rectify themselves and rectify the people of the world. Those people that will to fill the masjids. Those people that want to fight against the whispers of shaitan. Those people that want to protect the iman of the ummah of the people. Those people that want to bring people towards Islam, them are the people that you need to associate yourselves. So viewers of Madani Channel, I would request each and every one of you to not just watch this program, but watch all the programs on Madani Channel, especially the Madani Muzakarah that takes place on Saturday night. And at the same time, attach yourself to the environment of Madani Channel. Early on, I said to you that making an honest, strong intention. And if you make an honest, strong intention and stay by that, then inshallah, Azza wa Jal, it will protect you. I'm requesting you, viewers of my channel, as you know, in the UK at the moment, and many places around the world, because of the pandemic, the Madani Kaflas are not traveling. What are the Madani Kaflas? The Madani Kaflas are where people travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla for 3 days, 7 days, 12 days, 30 days, or even a whole 12 months. And they travel from city to city, country to country, stay in different masjids, learn the deen and spread the deen. I'm requesting each and every one of our viewers now to make an intention that at the first opportunity, I will travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And to make that intention firm, find your local zimadar. Find your local zimadar, phone him up and say, brother, yes, as soon as the first kafla is available, put my name. So please make firm intentions that inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, you will travel on the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But also, before that, the firm intention that we need to make, not only make, but act upon right now, from today, is to read our 5 daily prayers. And think to yourself, if you do not perform the other 5 daily prayers, then who is happy? Yes, viewers of the channel, you've been making shaitan happy. And that should not be the mission of any Muslim. Our mission should only be to please Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Rasul. And to do that, we need to read our 5 daily prayers. So make a firm intention now that I've missed my namazes in the past. Maybe I've done that. And I will make a list, yes. Make a list of all of those namazes that you missed and make up from the namazes. But from today, inshaAllah Azza wa Jalla, I will never ever miss a single prayer of my 5 daily prayers. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla. If I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you all of the ability to become steadfast on the deen, to act upon what I've said today and pass it on to others as well. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
May you keep ascending success, share success.